So as Sean said, I'm a lead one of the groups, I think is a little generous. I'm the director of test for Visual Studio Ultimate. So the pieces of the app lifecycle management tools that go into Visual Studio itself, into the IDE, are the things that we work on. I was mentioning to Sean last night at dinner that it's been kind of an interesting few years for me. About 3 or 4 years ago, I was a developer working on test tools. Today, I've changed over to be a tester working on developer tools. So, I guess along with everything else, our roles are changing. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about normal. So, you know, what is normal? You could make an argument that a lot of the things that we see up here, you know, were normal at one point. I remember years ago walking through Pac Bell, it's Pacific Bell, so you know, working on sort of $1 million software project and sort of walking past cubes with people sitting in them hitting keys on a typewriter, but it's completely gone today. I don't know. Most of you know, of course, the 3.5-inch disk was, all the rage. Everybody, oh my gosh, I got to get to the 3.5-inch from the, from the 5.25. And we've used this as our icon for save in Visual Studio for years. And as a result, people come up to us and ask us, why do you guys use the Honda symbol for save? WordStar used to be state of the art. I've heard there's still a few diehard people who refuse to go off of it. But modulo those guys, you never see that. And then you look at the T-shirt in the lower left-hand corner. I actually have a T-shirt like this. And first time I wore it, came downstairs. My 9-year-old said, "Dad, that is a really cool camera." All right, a turntable has no meaning for her at this point. I'm not cool enough, I guess, to be going retro back to vinyl, which I know some people are. And really, we have tools that have just, were part of our life at one point and have just gone away. I mean, when was the last time you saw a day planner or, Rolodex, your alarm clock, certainly even an analog one like this, but... The day that I figured out that my bank would write down my checks and that I could log on someplace and find out how much money I spent instead of trying to keep track of it in a register was perhaps the greatest day in my life. And the camera. So, today it's this, right? That's the whole screen up there, plus my day planner, plus, anything else I needed to do. So really the only thing that we can count on as constant as change. I remember a friend of mine and I sitting in a little restaurant in San Ramon about I would like to say 10 years ago, but I guess it's closer to 20 years ago, talking about the work he was doing at Texaco, and he said to me, "Dude, it is crazy. We have well over a terabyte of data in our data center." And I remember being like, I can't conceive of a terabyte of data. Today I have to have 2 terabytes of data in my DVR just to keep up with the reality TV my wife is watching, right? Like, there should be a 12-step program for reality TV, I'm convinced. But the 80s, we had the PC, which was this large, clunky, oh-so-awesomely geeky sort of machine that didn't really do a whole lot, right? It's a sort of, you walk around Microsoft and you kind of listen to people talk about, oh, yeah, like, I used to have my grandma read the printout for me so that I could type into my Commodore 64 every single line of a program. So, after 15, I see heads nodding out there. so that I could get a program that would write, hello world or something on the screen, right? It just wasn't much there. Today it's, today we're looking at, we look at handheld devices that, that we use for pretty much everything. We use them to connect to each other, to keep track of our contact, our contacts, to, maybe most importantly for me, to entertain my kids while I'm waiting for a table or whatever in a restaurant, right? Like, Dad, can I play on your phone? Will it mean that you guys will stop fighting for a minute? Sure, you can play on my phone as much as you would like. I was trying to just change the aspect ratio of this. This guy can. It's possible to drag it, but it won't. There. No, but smaller was better. That's good. It's they've been helping me all day because clearly as soon as you sort of graduate to director status, you completely forget how to use not only the complicated stuff, but just your own PC because PowerPoint. Woo, it's too scary. And you look at sort of along with sort of the PC's evolution, we sort of have changed the world, right? Like, when's the last time you saw an encyclopedia salesman? I suppose that's still a job, but I don't know what exactly they would be selling and to whom. Newspapers, magazines, all of those kinds of things are changing format and trying to stay relevant. Movies. I looked because not because I was watching any movies, in my hotel or anything, but I looked to see, how much does it cost me to rent a movie in the hotel? $12.99 for the best exotic Marigold hotel. All right. But sitting right next to that same TV where they're trying to charge me $12.99 is a VGA plug. I can plug that in, and for $2.99 on the Zune Marketplace, watch the same movie on the same screen. Right? We're just not going to put up with the IT's departments being in control anymore. And I think that along with those changes, those changes that we're seeing, you see the companies are changing, right? And the ones that aren't changing are dying. Blockbuster, right? Like, Netflix, it's a gnat. It'll go away quick. Netflix has had to sort of now scramble to keep up with the fact that, I don't even want the physical media anymore. Forget that. I don't, mail. I would have to plan ahead for mail. I don't like that. MySpace. I remember, 3 or 4 years ago, MySpace was sort of all the rage. I literally don't know if anybody has a MySpace page anymore. It's like I never hear about them. Right? They're sort of not changing fast enough to stay relevant. So change is really not an option. And change is normal. The world is definitely changing, and it's not going to wait for any of us to catch up, right? We're seeing our competitors at Microsoft cycling 2, 3, 12 times in the time that our natural cycles have been in the past. And keeping up's not enough, right? Mm-hmm. I have to differentiate, right? Just being what everybody else isn't going to be good enough, because somebody's going to think of something new and they're going to continue to evolve, and we got to try to keep pace with that. Let's just take a look at sort of these three areas, and in particular, what the IT department has become. In the 90s were a great time for IT, right? I was in IT at that point. And, it was good times. I bought what was the right stuff to buy. I decided what the customers needed. I was kind of in charge. Wet behind the ears, but in charge. If I can get this going. So it's the days of this guy, right?
Well, it just crashes every time my screensaver comes up.
All right, let's run a test. Just type in xy.violator/467f46.
Type in...
Move!
Those are sort of the good old days, at least for us. Oh, we're going to play over and over again now. So as we've sort of moved into the new millennium, we certainly have gotten closer to the business. We know that we're more beholden. I like to think of this time as where we went to the sort of I'm going to write down everything that you need to do for me, so I can hold your feet to the fire. That's sort of the business side. And then the sort of passive-aggressive response from us on the development side was the change request. I don't think that's in the spec. I think we're going to have to do a change request, and that's probably going to cost you like 1,000 hours. I don't know. So, kind of going back and forth. And now, IT and the business are sort of morphing together. There's no space for... the separation. I know, several companies, at least in the Seattle area, where the centralized IT department no longer exists. They've split the IT out to their various business components so that they get what they want when they want it. At the same time, the developer has been evolving. The 90s for the developer, also a great time, right? Bring me pizza and do it obsequiously. And I will sit on my mountaintop and decide what it is that I'm going to gift you with. And whenever I've got that done, I'll give it to you and you will like it. Those were the good old days. As we've moved forward, we've gotten closer, right? We sort of... It's the same kind of evolution as we went through with IT. We sort of said, okay, we'll start responding to your requirements a little bit more. You're not as scared now as you used to be of IT. You kind of think it could work, right? I think of it as sort of the transition away from my mom's version of IT, which is paying a kid to come to her office and physically move files using a floppy disk from one machine to the other. She was on a network. But today, it's collapsed again. Like we all have to work together. Everybody needs to pitch in. And I think if you're not willing to do that, if you're not willing to sort of, step over the divide and kind of all work together, you're not going to survive. I look at back at my own career at Microsoft. And I remember when I started, I was working on the search analytics project, and I literally, physically in the building on, well, we could have, I guess, changed floors, but on the same floor, my dev team couldn't get any physically farther from the test team in the building. Right? It literally took me 3-4 minutes to walk over to my test manager counterpart's office, to say something like, "Hey, you gonna test this thing?" And that was about how we collaborated too, right? Like, might as well have been a wall. We kind of threw stuff back and forth to each other. We kind of have evolved into Visual Studio 2008 when I joined. Sort of at the tail end of that. And we had this kind of idea of a feature crew. It was cross-functional. The people were reasonably close together, but devs did dev work, and testers did test work, and the other guys were kind of dumb for doing their stuff, right? Like, and they never kind of really worked together. Today in Visual Studio Ultimate, we're sitting in team rooms. The devs and testers are sitting right next to each other. Work is work. A tester will pick up a dev task. A dev will pick up a tester task. Though I will admit, a tester is more likely to pick up a dev task still than a dev is likely to pick up a tester task. Because really, writing bugs is more fun than finding them. So it's really been a big evolution for development. The consumer is in the same boat, right? As the industry has evolved, the consumer has evolved. In the 90s, PC, we had something like 15% to 51% of households went from no PC to having a PC. So it's kind of, all right, we've got this PC, I can do some stuff with it. And then kind of the turn of the century. Sounds so awesome. we moved to the consumer is actually sort of embracing portability, right? Like, this is kind of like wireless networks, portable computers. I can work from anywhere in the building. Sort of still a bit tied down. I have to find a Starbucks or a be in the office or in my house. But at least within those sort of realms, I can move around. Today, mobile devices. It's on demand all the time. I was again telling Sean, as I flew in yesterday, I had a candidate going through an interview loop at back in Redmond, and so I was signed up to talk to him at 5 o'clock. And so, but about the time that my taxi pulled up into the hotel was about 5:05. So I'm like, okay, let me quick look and see what's going on. So I find the mail and I call that number, and it's conference room, but he's not in it. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? Like, how do I even dig myself out of this jam? I'm completely lost. And I finally, realized I need to turn my data roaming back on. So that I can get to the internet tools that I'm always using, right? Like, I can get to my Outlook directory and find out the phone number for the guy that's running the loop and find those people. I think the similar thing is you walk into Staples or Office Depot or those brands here. You walk in there and to buy a physical thing. I had to buy a printer recently, which is I know weird. Like, I actually went to a store to buy a printer. It's kind of, I just needed it really badly that day. Standing there and looking at the sort of wide array of stuff that they have, and I noticed they have visual search tags on every tag now. It's brilliant, right? I search that. Now I'm looking at their reviews. And I'm looking at their website with their price, as opposed to, let me look at the reviews on, say, Amazon. And, while I'm looking at this, I notice I could save $50 if I'm willing to wait, 24 hours to get this printer. So everything changes. You know, it's, we're either going to adapt to that or we're going to become a relic of the past. And with the, I think that the changes that we see right now are sort of the symptom, right? People didn't know that what they really wanted in their life was a smartphone until somebody, you know, not saying who, but somebody showed it to them, right? As soon as they saw it, they knew they wanted it. And as soon as they got it into their hands, it started putting pressure on us to sort of adapt to that. Like, hey, if I can do it on Facebook, why can't I do it here? Like, why, you know, why are you in my way? These guys are able to do it. You know, where are you? So I think that we're going to see more innovation as we go forward. So going to be something behind the sort of mobile devices that we're seeing today. And really, it's not so much about how do I react to the change in the world. It's how do I react, how do I set myself up to continue to react to the changes as they come along. Yeah, so that, you know, this trend, this sort of force is kind of what we call the consumerization of IT. So who is the consumer? It can be the customer buying from us. It can also be employees working for us, or at least working for, you know, the same company as us. How they consume IT has definitely changed their expectations of what you're going to do. Right? I mean, that's a pretty powerful thing. You know, we've sort of gone from the mountaintop, do what I say, to no. I know what I want, and I expect you to give it to me. But this is the new normal. So how are we gonna stay relevant? I think the key thing here is to take a bit of time to sort of reflect, reevaluate, think about what we've done. You know, what products have we built? You know, those products continue to be relevant? Are they the right things for us to continue with going forward? You know, what are our people doing? How are they set up? What kind of teams are they in? How are we organized? How does the organization think about those people? What, you know, in what way do we employ them? How do we sort of agilely move them from a little A agile, move them from sort of one project to the other? What processes have we used? Are those processes gonna adapt? I was mentioning to somebody recently that, you know, it's sort of like we've in Visual Studio, we were sort of, I don't know, did about a 4-year release, and then we kind of did a 3-year release, and this last one was right about 2 years. And you know, now we're talking about shipping quarterly, right? So we're gonna ship our first update in November. If I have to kill somebody to get it out, we're going to ship an update in November. And you know, the processes that we're using don't work. Like, we cannot, we've taken a quarter to decide what we need to do to shut our release down before. It's sort of this compression is almost unfathomable for us. And of course, the tooling has to keep up with that. So you know, we need to go ahead and recreate those things. How do we actually build how do we adjust so that we meet those challenges going forward? So looking at the product, like, you know, I kind of said this before, what does it do? Am I about innovation? If I am, I sort of have a treadmill there, right? I got to keep innovating, or I sort of get caught. If I'm filling a gap, how long does that gap stay there? Right? I know some of our partners have been talking to me about that over the last, you know, day or so. Like, hey, you know, right now we do this thing with TFS. You know, are you guys coming into that space? Are you gonna sort of edge us out? Do we need to move? You know, those kinds of things continue to happen. And definitely if you're about sort of improving and automating processes, those things are changing as fast as everything else. I have worked for a company several years ago that we were doing this. We decided we could do this awesome billing thing, and so basically we'd go scour the internet and find basically license and infringements on the internet and figure out who did them and then send them a bill. It was not a company that embraced the don't be evil sort of a view of the world. So, doing that, we initially sort of hired somebody to automate that process for us. And it was taking days and days and days to get a single bill out. And finally went in and spent some of my developers' time to kind of shrink that down. And I remember the day that we deployed it, the CFO called me and she said, "What did you do?" And with her, it's sort of like when your mom asks you that question, right? Like, I don't know, but I'm not admitting to anything, until you tell me what's going on. And I said, I'm not sure, Carrie, what's going on? She said, "This thing is awesome. We're getting through these billing cycles so fast now. It's great." It's I think probably the one time I've gotten positive feedback from the business, but I'll take once. From an organization perspective, how do you view IT? Clearly, IT can't be in the driver's seat anymore. We have to sort of learn to mold ourselves and understand the domains that we're in and move along with those with the trends that the business needs and continue to sort of work along those lines. And at the same time, what's the team organization at? Where does the team organization look like? Where are your testers? How do your testers and devs get along? I did a presentation when I was still on the TLM team once, and I was talking about sort of the low quality of bugs that we get, and I had an email that I had gotten that literally said, "TFS won't connect," and then there was a screenshot, and the screenshot was TFS not connecting, and I was like, "What am I supposed to do with this?" Right, and so I showed it to these guys, and they're like, "That's a setup. You did that. Somebody set you up because that's what our testers always do, right? There's sort of this wall between dev and test, and it's always those other guys. It's not really a bug. It's a change request. All of those kind of things. We gotta move away from that. A few years ago, I sort of have a Microsoft story where I worked at Microsoft for a while and then left for a while and then came back. And when I was interviewing for the company that I spent that intervening time with, it was one of these kind of interview loops where they sit you down in a conference room and then everybody comes to you. And everybody came in sort of bleary-eyed, kind of rubbing their eyes, looking like they'd really rather have a nap than talk to me. And what had happened was they had done a release the night before. And the quality of the release was obviously not good, which is why none of them had been home sort of for 24 hours or so. And not only that, but they were 18 months into a 12-month cycle. So the worst part of the whole thing was that the business didn't even want the new software. Like, it was a close thing to, don't deploy that, because none of that's really what we're looking for at this point. We're trying to go in a different direction. So when I actually joined the team, we really figured out, hey, we've got to go from a nominal 12-month release to something much shorter. So we immediately sort of dropped to 3 months. And then we said, well, you know what we can do? We can do just this little sort of fast track. We'll give you a monthly release, but don't make us do anything too hard. As long as it kind of meets these criteria, we'll put it in that release, and we'll sort of do this ongoing monthly release. Now, guess what? The business started to say, we'd say, yeah, we're going to have to start up a project for that. We think we can get out at the next quarter. And they would say to us, how do I get it in the monthly release? What do I have to cut to get it in the monthly release? Right? And it sort of immediately sort of collapsed that divide between, you know, them asking us for everything in the world and us and we telling them it's going to take forever, and brought us to the place where, hey, we actually look like we can innovate now. We can change our licensing model or put up a new landing screen without there sort of being a significant emotional event associated with it. And we look at you know the tools world, and I think of DevOps as sort of SAT test. You know, DevOps is to ITIL as Agile was to Waterfall. Right? It's now if I figured out how to crank up my development cycle, I can sort of push code out every day. I can get things that are production ready every day. But as soon as I try to get the code from a test environment into production, there's this huge wall. I'm stuck. I was actually talking to Rafe earlier, and he was saying that they were working with a company that was 2 weeks to get into production, right? 2 weeks, and then they were able to bring that down to 2 minutes. Like, how big of a advantage is that to be able to say, hey, I can actually get stuff out as fast as I can kind of think of it. It certainly doesn't come without a price, right? Like we have to really think about the sort of the next point here, which is quality enablement, which is sort of near and dear to my heart. Like, what does that look like in the new world? To me, it looks like developers writing more functional tests, testers moving more quickly into stress and performance and load and those kinds of testing to get us understanding for what the customer is looking for, because we have no time, right? There's no time for us to write 18 billion automation tests and then sort of get them stabilized and keep going. We have to get the feedback back to the developer today, or he can't react to it on the cycle that he actually is working. Hybrid IT, I mean, this is just happening, right? Like, if you don't already have some place in your company where there's some little bit of cloud going on, it's coming, right? Like, cloud to me is the new Microsoft Access, right? Like, everybody's just like, hey, you know what? I need a little something. I'll just go do it in the cloud, and nobody will have to be any of the wiser. But those things grow up, and then they need to talk to your corporate systems, and all of a sudden there you are, sort of in a hybridized environment. And then of course, cross-platform development. I hate to admit, but in honesty, have to admit that there are a couple other platforms out there for mobile devices. There might even be some that are more popular than the Windows Phone platform, for example. But so you have to deal with those cross-platform issues, and they're very difficult. Like, they're not that similar of programming models. One's open, one's sort of closed. Like, how do you bring all of that together? So this is your world. I mean, I can't do anything about that. You know your competition and your products and all of those kinds of things. So it's time to adapt. It's not enough to just know, hey, I have modern development tools, or I'm using modern processes. I have to be in a position where I continually adapt my process and adapt my approach to just evolve my, not only my IT effort, but my business. I think we we Microsoft are certainly, you know, seeing that for ourselves. You know, I'm gonna get a November update out if it kills me, or somebody else. But you know, that's new for us. Like, you know, but we have to do it. We have to be able to respond to our customers' needs, because, you know, we're certainly not the only game in town, and we need to kind of keep up with what you guys need, and similarly, you guys are going to have to rise to the challenge of making your IT department and your business over.
That's great.
Great.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's it's interesting, and looking around the room, we've probably got a few hundred years of experience in the room, and reflect on some of the things that Mark said. And I remember one of the big pieces of change that I remember in the last little while was, at the time at work, your most powerful machine was at work, and at home you had whatever you could afford. In these days, it's switched, right? You've got the most powerful machines at home, and then at work. Is there anyone still working on 10-year-old desktops? So my wife was, to give you a personal example, and I actually sent my wife to work, said, look, we'll bring in your personal desktop, your personal laptop, and let it work in their environment. And obviously the Microsoft licensing would be kosher. We'd make sure that would work, right? Now, they didn't like that, but it's another example where the consumerization and the expectations, let alone, that was hardware, and let alone the actual user interface that we need to do, it's all stepped up, and we've all got to rise to this challenge.